time to get organized in your life. You may have heard that before or told yourself the very same thing, but where to start? Welcome to Let's Get Organized with Meryl Starr. Join us today as we focus on a part of your physical or emotional space that could use some help decluttering. Now, here's Meryl Starr.
I don't know why that was my music kept playing. Anyway, hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to Let's Get Organized with Meryl Starr. I am Meryl Starr. You know, since October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I've decided to do a breast care awareness show. You know, while most of us are aware of breast cancer, many forget to take the steps to have a plan to detect the disease in its early stages, and also encourage others to do the same. Did you know that 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer in their lifetime? It is the most commonly diagnosed cancer in women and is the second leading cause of death among women. Each year, it's estimated that over 220,000 women in the United States alone will be diagnosed with breast cancer, and more than 40,000 women will die. So glad you joined the conversation today. My first guest is Gail Blank, who I'm so excited about. She was actually one of the youngest female senior vice presidents of Avon Products, where in addition to her responsibilities as the global head of public affairs, she motivated and inspired Avon's 500,000 sales representatives to live the lives of their wildest dreams. Just love that. Anyway, as well, a member of the Chairman's Executive Council for Avon as well, she led the repositioning of Avon as the world's premier direct selling company for women. Got to check out all those pink cars out there. And she also launched the widely acclaimed Avon Breast Cancer Awareness Crusade, which has raised more than $450 million for community outreach programs. How wonderful is that? Also joining me later in the conversation is Eloise Sacagiano. Oh, I'm sorry, Eloise, for not pronouncing that correctly. She is the program director of the Avon Walk for Breast Cancer and is an 8-year breast cancer survivor. Here, she will share her tales from the trails. I'm very excited about meeting her later on. Getting back to breast cancer, like I said, October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and it's a chance to raise awareness about the importance of screening and early detection of breast cancer. Here we go. Gail is here. I'm going to pick her up right away.
She's telling me I didn't fuck
it. Good morning, Gail.
Hello. How are you, Meryl?
I am so great. How are you?
Good. I'm good.
I have to tell you, I am so excited that you're on the show today. I don't know if Annie told you, but over the weekend, I was looking back over some old articles that were special to me because I have saved them. And this one was from 2007. And it was, of course, the motivator from Real Simple. And it was the one that you wrote about how to make your mark.
Yep.
About your dad.
Oh, yeah.
It's from 2007. It is such an incredibly fabulous article. I wanted to thank you. And I'm so grateful that I held on to it for so long. And here, you know, I help people, well, decrease the clutter in their lives. But this obviously was not clutter to me because it's such a spectacular article. So I wanted to say thank you for that and even talk about
that's
for
great.
A little bit.
Well, it was, that, my dad was just a terrific guy, and he taught me a great deal about showing your passion and mm-hmm. really being committed to people. He was a wonderful speaker himself, and cared a lot about moving people to action. And so he, his teachings were really, really good, which I've refined over the years since that's
yes.
a big part of what I do.
Yes, I know, of course, that you have Life Designs, your own company. You're a motivational speaker. There are so many things that you've done in your lifetime and your career. It's just so impressive, really. And there's a couple of things that I wanted to talk about. But what happened was, as I start, and I want to talk about throw out 50 things, clear your clutter, because you know that's my MO as well. But when I was researching you, I also read that you were associated with Avon way back when, and
mm-hmm.
that you launched the widely acclaimed Avon Breast Cancer Awareness Crusade. And that is just so spectacular, because the second part of the show, I am going to be talking about breast cancer awareness. And I wanted to congratulate you. I mean, they have raised more than, and I believe this is correct, $450 million for community outreach programs because of what you started.
It's actually $800
million. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. More than $800 million. Yeah, since 1992, that's when that was launched. Well, mm-hmm. and it was, I tell you, I had a very impassioned team that I was working with, and it really was absolute a labor of love and commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Avon in the UK that came up with the idea in terms of having a crusade in the UK, and then we picked it up and expanded it, and now it's in, I think, over 58 countries, the whole effort. So it's definitely
mm-hmm.
a global initiative.
It's just
but
wonderful.
It was, well, you know, the we had rewritten the Avon vision statement a number of years ago to include some really powerful words, and we said that it was the company that best understands and satisfies the product, service, and here were the words, self-fulfillment needs of women globally.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole idea was not just about beauty, but creating a beautiful life.
Yes.
And if that's what you stand for as a company, then that means you have to care a lot about the whole person, not just the part that buys stuff from you. So that kind of thinking led to things like the Avon Breast Cancer Awareness Crusade. It seemed like a natural offshoot to take a stand for women and for doing something about it and raising awareness, etc. So, in fact, I remember when we presented the idea to our CEO, and I remember saying to my team, when we got out of the elevator and we're going to walk into his office, I said, just one second, here's something we need to know. This is really, really good, what we've created here. It's really important. Whatever happens in this meeting, we can be happy and proud now.
Mm-hmm.
So let's walk in with that attitude.
Right.
And we did, and he just was knocked out, and he said, if this just saves or lengthens one life,
mm-hmm.
it'll be worth it. It'll be worth everything. So that was good.
Spectacular. Fabulous. Just fabulous. I mean, my hat goes off to you, really. It's just so, so wonderful. And then, of course, you wrote a couple of books, but the one that I wanted to talk about was was throw out 50 things and clear the clutter, find your
life. Yeah, clear the clutter, find your life. That's it.
It's so, you know what's so great, Gail? I also watched the video. You did. There was a YouTube video of you talking about throwing out the 50 things. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching it, and it's just so fabulous when you watch somebody and hear somebody speak that's speaking your language. It's just, you know, it's just like this wonderful connection. And I connected with you immediately once I saw that. I was like, I love this woman. So, and throwing out 50 things is just a spectacular thing for anybody to do. How did you, you know, come about with writing that book?
Well, you know, I have thought over the years, I wrote Taking Control of Your Life, which is about entrepreneurial women. I wrote a book called Between Trapezes, which flying into a new life, which is interestingly sort of picking up a lot of attention again now. And it was the whole idea there was you have to let go of the old trapeze, right, before you can reach out and grasp the new one because you can't hold on to two of them at the same time. So the idea of letting go of the past so that you can create and thrill to the future is a theme of mine. Mm-hmm. And something I think is terribly important for everybody right now.
Absolutely. Yes,
because
it is.
There's, you know, it's, you got to let go of the old fears, let go of the old mindsets, the old way you did it, the old view of yourself, and move forward and reinvent yourself, which is really what it's about. But the best way to start is by clearing the physical clutter. And that's, as you know, that's where the sense of freedom really starts, is getting rid of that stuff.
Absolutely.
You know? And people, you probably noticed this, people feel so overwhelmed by life in general. And so they start thinking about, yeah, I should really go through my drawers. I should go through the attic if I can even, you know, get in there. I should do that drawer in the kitchen, whatever. But I'll do it later because I just don't have the energy to do it right now. And the ironic thing is that just doing one little thing actually gives you energy. It doesn't deplete you. And,
right.
And, you know, you clean out that kitchen drawer and, you know, that right off the bat you say, wait, if I can do this, maybe I'll move on to, you know, that my closet.
Bigger and better things.
That's how good it feels.
I know. And,
you know that kitchen drawer.
Everybody has, you know, those little
things. The kitchen drawer. You're lucky if you can get it open. You know, you've got
All
that dried up tubes of crazy glue and dead batteries and old receipts and all that stuff. Keys
and
that haven't opened up anything in 20 years.
Right. And I always, you know, tell my clients that to just start small. And once you start to get rid of the clutter, which is negative energy, of course you're going to feel better. But once you start small and you experience that, that's what gives you the motivation to move on to do the next space.
Oh, it's really true. When my husband cleaned out his closet, and he really went in there with the whole throw out 50 things attitude, and he was so thrilled with it that, you know, anybody who would come around, he would say, "You want to see my closet?"
How cute.
Right,
you know,
come and
because
look at my closet. No, I mean, really look at it, he would say.
Right. Because he felt so good about it because opening those doors, everything in there he loved. Everything in there he was wearing, everything in there felt good to him.
Yep,
so, of course, it
feels
good. And that's what's so important for people to realize is that, you know, I met a woman. I was having my nails done yesterday, and she was telling me that she was moving, packing up all of her stuff and moving to a new apartment, whatever. I turned to her. I said, whatever you do, don't take anything that you don't love with you to the new space. She says, what are you talking about? I says, well, you know, if there's something that you haven't used or if you're touching it or looking at it and it just doesn't give you a positive feeling, why do you want to bring it into that new space?
Yeah.
And she looked at me and she says, oh, wow, you know, you're right. And she said, I'm going to go home and start getting rid of the things that you know, don't feed me, don't energetically feel good, don't, you know,
yeah.
I don't need.
And there, yeah. anything that weighs you down or holds you back or makes you feel, you know, bad about yourself, or even just negative a little bit, to your point, has to go. And, you know, and that means that you can, you know, you might want to donate it. You might want to recycle it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might want to sell it, whatever it is. But you don't want, and some stuff just deserves to be thrown out because it's not usable by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is you don't keep it around you, that's all.
Right.
And
right.
it's hard sometimes because you think, oh, it wouldn't be right to, you know, to let this go because, you know, my mother loved it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing
mm-hmm.
is, if you're not wearing it or using it and somebody else could right now, wouldn't that be a good thing?
Absolutely.
And so it's, you know, that would make everybody feel good that
mm-hmm.
That somebody could be using it right now. Some people have a hard time throwing out books. We used to have a really hard time, and what we do now is we donate them, and
mm-hmm.
And you know, it's wonderful because there's a particular community center that we donate. And we're great readers in our family, huge quantities of good books, and. And they read them, and they bring them back, and other people read them, and sort of, you know, they keep it going. I mean, there are also those books that are classics that you're going to keep around you forever. But it feels awfully good to think, oh, maybe somebody else could use this. Wouldn't
yes.
that be great?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a great – it makes it easier for people to get rid of things when they realize they're giving it to an organization. I love Housing Works. So many of my clients donate to Housing Works because they're such a great organization, you know, here
in
New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Really great.
But, you know, it's interesting what happens when people get really warmed up throwing – you know, letting things go, throwing things out. And, you know, everybody I work with, I tell them they have to go home and throw out 50 things and then
mm-hmm.
bring back a list and tell me what that is. And this one woman came back and I said, okay, so what'd you throw out? She said, I don't want to talk about it. I said, come on, what'd you throw out? You got to. That's your assignment. She said, okay, fine. I went home and I threw out the guy that I've been living with for 11 years, because he was weighing me down and holding me back, Gail. And she said, now the only thing I want to know is, do I still have to throw out 49 more things? I said, actually, you're good for this week. Next week, you got to get cracking again.
I love it. Wow, how powerful is that? You know, it takes strength, a lot of strength, for someone to be able to do that. And I congratulate her. That's just absolutely fabulous.
It took tremendous courage, and it was the big, what I call the big letting go, really, really moving forward. So,
really, really fabulous.
Yeah.
And then lastly, of course, you have Life Designs. You're a executive and life coach, which is great. And you've been doing that. You're here in New York City, and you've been with Life Designs. How long have you had that company?
Well, I originally created Life Designs as a division of Avon, and it's which I ran, and it was its aim was to enable women to create not only successful careers, however they define success, but wonderful, fulfilling lives. And so I just fell in love with the whole concept. It was workshops and my speaking, etc. I realized that it was sort of what I was meant to do. So I acquired it from Avon in 1997 and then expanded it to include not only workshops, but my motivational speaking and executive coaching. And that's when I started writing books that on various areas of that work. So, and of course, not surprisingly, given my dad, motivational speaking is a great passion of mine, but also helping people present themselves and their ideas powerfully and persuasively is a good part of the individual coaching that I do, and sometimes
mm-hmm.
in groups. You know, people have a tendency to be terrified to get up and speak in front of people, and actually It when they realize that it's just a conversation
right.
that is among friends, it just changes everything.
It changes
really
everything. And, you know, like your dad said, he said, I think charisma is passion demonstrated. It's
That's
when you
it.
Let your enthusiasm and optimism show and use your energy to inspire the next fella. I
yep.
love that. I love
yep.
that. He just sounded
passion
like...
Passion demonstrated.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yep,
he moved people to work miracles in their
which
lives.
Which is wonderful, wonderful. Like you said in that article, he could transform the energy of any room from exhausted to exuberant. And I guarantee you do the same thing.
Well, I'm glad that you reminded me of that because I'm giving a speech tomorrow and I'm going to remember that that's my absolute commitment
yes,
to deliver
yes.
on that.
Yes,
I'll do it for him.
Yes, do that for him. He's obviously he's going to be there for with you.
Yes.
And I'd love to come if Annie could send me an email sometime. I'd love to hear you speak. Really, that would be wonderful.
Oh, we'll definitely arrange that. We
yes,
will.
that would be great. But I just want to thank you so much. I know it was a little short notice for being here today, Gail. You're just a wonderful, accomplished woman, and I look forward to meeting you in person sometime.
Well, I would love that. Do you get my Monday Morning Motivators?
No, but
well,
I would
write
love
them.
To.
I think you would like it. I write them
yes.
every. They arrive in your inbox every Monday, and it's why this is going to be a good week. And sometimes they're poignant. Sometimes they're funny. But it's always what just the small changes you can make to make your life absolutely terrific. And
okay.
So I'll send them to you. And if anyone listening would like them, they can just go to throwout50things.com, F-I-F-T-Y, and sign up for it, and we'll send them. Plus, you can read some of the past motivators. Actually, I'm making a book out of them. It should be out in time for this Christmas.
Oh, good. You know what? Maybe you'll come back on and we'll talk about that.
Perfect.
That would be great because the motivator, what a great column, really, for 2 years. I mean, that just
I
really
had a wonderful time writing it.
Right.
I really did.
Really
glad you were one of the people who read it.
Yes, me too. Anyway, thank you. Thank you. And I look forward to next time.
Next conversation. Take good care.
Yes, you too. Thank you, Gail.
Okay. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, how wonderful was that?
That was good.
Yep. Okay, I'm going to hang up here, and I will talk to you soon.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye. Great. Okay. Oh, that was fabulous. Well, it's time for me to take a quick break. You're listening to Let's Get Organized with Meryl Starr on Blog Talk Radio. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Each week you hear Meryl Starr give some great tips to getting organized on her radio show. But how can you find out more about Meryl and possibly use her organization services to your advantage? Visit MerylStarr.com. Meryl provides consultation to help you organize your personal space, your workspace, and your life space. Appointments are available by phone or by Skype. You can schedule your session at MerylStarr.com. Also, find out information about Meryl's books, available through Amazon. You need to get organized. Visit MerylStarr.com today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. If you're just tuning in, this is Let's Get Organized with Meryl Starr, and we're talking about breast care awareness. And joining me in a couple of minutes is Eloise. I'm not going to pronounce her name. I'm going to wait for her to pronounce it for me. She's the program director of the Avon Walk for Breast Cancer and an 8-year breast cancer survivor. Here, she will share her tales from the trails. I'm so excited to have her here today. She's going to be talking about the Avon Walks. They are all over the country. She gets involved in many of the walks, and she is also a 3-time New York City Marathon finisher, which is just great. So since its launch of the Avon Walk events, they have raised $472 million through the dedication of more than 180 participating women and men from across the country. It really is just wonderful, the work that Eloise is doing. There are a couple of different myths that I just wanted to talk about, because some of us are not familiar with breast cancer. Like somebody said, well, men do not get breast cancer. It affects women only. And the truth is quite the contrary. Each year it is estimated that approximately 2,100 men will be diagnosed with breast cancer and 410 men will die. While this percentage is still small, men should also check themselves periodically by doing a breast exam while in the shower and, of course, report any change to their physicians. Breast cancer, by the way, in men is usually detected as a hard lump underneath the nipple and areola. Men carry a higher mortality than women do, primarily because awareness among men is less and they are less likely to assume a lump is breast cancer, which can cause a delay in seeking treatment. So I advise you to tell your partners, husbands, boyfriends, dads, brothers about that. Anyway, I see Eloise is here. Hello, Eloise.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, gorgeous?
I'm good, thanks.
I'm so glad that you're here today. What a glorious day it is.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It is just great. So I would love for you to tell everybody a little bit about yourself. Let's start out with that.
Sure. Well, my name is Eloise. I am the program director for the Avon Walk for Breast Cancer.
Oh, wait, Eloise. Please pronounce your last name because, you know, I just didn't get it.
Sure, Caggiano.
Caggiano. Okay,
yeah.
Great. Thanks.
Okay. So I'm the program director for the Avon Walk for Breast Cancer. I work at the Avon Foundation for Women, and I am also an 8-year breast cancer survivor.
Fabulous. That's so great. And how did you get involved with Avon? Because I believe you were in communications.
Right. I was working in public relations prior to this for the majority of my career so far. And when I was 33 years old, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And it was a huge shock. And after going through that whole experience, I realized that I wanted to reprioritize a little bit and I wanted to switch careers and find something that was a little more meaningful to me and something that I could feel really good about at the end of the day. So I wanted to get into nonprofit work. And it didn't have to be breast cancer related, but I was kind of hoping I would find something that was, because that's obviously near and dear to my heart. And it took a little while to find the right thing, but that's how I ended up at the Avon Foundation for Women. And that was about 5.5 years ago now.
It's an incredible organization. And it must feel so good and so empowering to be there and doing the work that you're doing and to be able to support women and, energetically, it must just be wonderful.
It really is. You know, I mean, it's a big, busy job, as typical of nonprofits. We're a lean staff, so we are very busy. But at the end of the day, it's all worth it. And when I meet the people who have benefited from the programs we fund, it just makes it all worthwhile. When I meet other breast cancer survivors at our Avon Walk for Breast Cancer events, it just means so much to me personally and professionally. So, it's definitely a great place to work.
Which is great. You know, you always have to enjoy what you're doing. It makes it so much better and so much more powerful when we are when we love what we're doing. So,
yeah, and I think that's hard to find. I think it's hard to find.
It is.
So.
It is. And when we find that, we need to really be so grateful, because when you just love what you do, I mean, what more do you want, really? So I'd love to talk about the walks. I know there's one coming up in New York City in October. And for all of you out there, this is the little paragraph that they wrote about Manhattan. It says, enjoy an extraordinary walking tour of the entire Big Apple. We'll go up and down the island of Manhattan through the Upper West and East Side, Greenwich Village, Soho, and Chinatown. You'll see legendary Central Park, Rockefeller Center, and Radio City Music Hall, and take in stunning views of Manhattan as we cross the iconic Brooklyn Bridge. How fabulous does that sound, everybody?
Yes, come please join us.
Really, come and join us.
A wonderful tour of Manhattan. This is my hometown. It's our biggest Avon Walk that we do. And really, all of our Avon Walks across the country are the same format. They're 2 days. They're 39.3 miles, so it's a marathon and a half. And we give you a great tour of that city. We do 8 of them across the country. But like I said, New York City is our biggest. And one that's, you know, close to my heart because it's our hometown. But,
sure.
Yeah, exactly. The paragraph you just read really sums it up nicely as far as what you'll see and where you'll go. And it's a great tour of a city, even if it is your hometown. You think, oh, well, I already walk all over New York City. But I know plenty of people who never walk across the Brooklyn Bridge, even though they live here, or they've never been to certain neighborhoods or don't go very often. So this is a chance to really get a great view of the city, and you add to that not only, you know, the great things that you'll see, but you add to that several thousand women and men who are so passionate about fighting breast cancer, who have come from all over the country to participate in the Avon Walk, you know, and their excitement and dedication and determination and their laughs and their cheers, and you add all that together, and it really makes for such an exciting and memorable weekend.
It's really, it must feel really, really good. Now, there are so many people out there, I think, Eloise, that really don't know how they can get involved. You know, how much is it? Where do they sign up? You know, what do they need to do? So let's talk about that a little bit.
Sure. If you want to participate in any of our Avon Walks, and it's not too late to sign up for our Avon Walk New York, it's happening October 19th and 20th, you can go to our website, avonwalk.org. There's lots of information there, and there's videos you can watch if you want to learn a little bit more about it, or you can give us a call. But really, everybody who registers as a walker does commit to raising a minimum of $1,800, but we give you tons of tools and tips. You get your own online web page, and there's a Facebook app, and there's all these different things that will help you raise that money in no time. And then the weekend itself, and we give you all the details of where to go and when to be there and what to bring. You know, the weekend itself is great. Saturday morning, we start with an opening ceremony bright and early over by the Intrepid on Pier 84. And we have a great ceremony that we remind everybody kind of why we're doing this, get everybody pumped up and energized. And then you set out on the route. We give you so much support all day long. Every couple of miles, you have rest stops where you can get drinks and snacks and bathroom and Band-Aids or whatever you need. And we feed you lunch, and there's lots of community support. We have cheering stations along the route to give you energy and keep you going. A lot of the local businesses just come on out. They put pink balloons out in front of their store. They come out and give candy and things. So it's just, it's like almost being in a parade almost. And then at the end of the day, at the end of the route, it'll end at Randall's Island, which is what we call our wellness village, which is essentially the campsite for the night. The Avon Walk is a camping event. We provide everything you need. You just bring your clothes and your sleeping bag, but we give you the tent. You can take a shower. We feed you. We have yoga classes and foot massagers and all these great things to make you feel good after a long day. And then Sunday morning, we feed you breakfast, and you head out on the route again to see more of Manhattan. And then we finish where we started over at Pier 84, and we have a great closing ceremony that is probably one of the highlights of the walk, because that's where we give away the money that everybody worked so hard to raise. Mm-hmm. Right on stage, we give away the checks to the local beneficiaries who are doing, you know, life-saving research, who are helping people fighting breast cancer right now. And it's really very powerful moment to look up and see those checks being given out and know that you helped make that happen.
Sure.
We have several hundred breast cancer survivors at every one of our walks. One thing I will say for anybody who's considering doing the Avon Walk, but just heard me say 39.3 miles and $1,800 and is now really nervous about the idea.
Right, right.
The full route is a marathon and a half, 39.3 miles over the 2 days, but you do not have to walk the whole distance. It is not a competition. Nobody is grading you on how far you go. We're just happy you're there. We're happy you raised the money. If you walk 5 miles, 10 miles, 39 miles, it's up to you. We want you to have a great time and feel good. So we have training plans and things to help you build up your mileage if you're looking to do the whole distance, but there are plenty of people who don't do the whole distance, so I don't want people to be scared away by that length of walk.
Right, sure. It's not like, most people have never walked that length, and it seems overwhelming. But I would imagine with all the people, and again, the energy and the support, it's like you just can't stop. It's just so exciting. You just keep going.
You do get caught up in it, which is great because it does help you keep you going. And like I said, the cheering stations along the way really give you that little boost just when you start dragging a little bit. So there is a lot to help keep you motivated and keep you going. But if you get to a point where you're like, ugh, I'm done, I just can't go any further, that's totally fine. And we have, we call them sweep vans that sort of patrol the route. And if you need a ride, we'll give you a ride. You know, so it's
nice
of that. So that's why I don't want people to be scared of it because really, you know, we have people of all ages, all shapes and sizes, all different fitness levels participate in every one of our Avon walks. And you don't feel like you have to be, you know, this super fit athlete. It's a long walk, but it's, like I said, it's not a competition, and it's just all about having a special weekend together. And it's the most encouraging group of people you could ever imagine. There's always somebody to kind of give you a little boost if you need it, or you meet people and you start chatting, and it just helps the miles pass by so much quicker because you're meeting all these wonderful people and sharing stories. So don't let the mileage scare you away. And the fundraising too. Some people, especially if you've never fundraised for anything before, fundraising $1,800 can be a little daunting, a little scary. But again, like I mentioned before, we give so much support. Every person who registers gets their own walker coach, and that's somebody who's going to check in with you, see how your fundraising is going, give you ideas if you're having trouble, you know, getting started, or you raised a little bit, but you know, donations kind of slowed down. They'll give you lots of help, and we have so many tools and things to make it super easy.
Mm-hmm. Now, Eloise, I know that there's, you know, probably some women or people out there that are saying, well, you know, the $1,800, what happens if I only, you know, can get $1,000 and my deadline, you know, it's the deadline, what happens there?
Sure. So you do agree, you do agree to raise the $1,800. Mm-hmm. We do have an option for the people who, when the event weekend comes, and if they haven't quite gotten to their $1,800, there is an option for those people. They can sign, we call it a fundraising commitment pledge, where you sign a form and give us some information where you agree we'll give you 2 more months, an additional 60 days to keep fundraising. You can participate in the event, and you can, after the event is over, you can keep fundraising, and after those 60 days, we'll check back in with you, and you can turn in any additional donations you've gotten. And then if you still haven't quite met the $1,800, you are responsible for the difference. But like I said, you get 2 more months to keep fundraising. So we try and really compromise with people and help them out because we want as many people to walk as possible. But we do have the fundraising minimum for a reason, because if we just let people raise whatever they felt like or whatever they could, we'd never raise enough money to make the event worthwhile and to be able to give away those really big checks on stage. So we've got our rules for a reason. I know not
Absolutely.
Everybody likes it, but that's why we try and give so much support to make the fundraising as easy as possible.
I love that. I think that's great. And that is encouraging. The people have, you know, plenty of time. It's not, you know, that extra 2 months really means a lot, and that's great. How much money typically, you know, are you expecting really from would it be just a whole year, or do you separate it by, you know, like New York, California?
Yeah, each you know, after each walk, actually the opening ceremony at each walk, I announce how much money all of these wonderful people have raised. And it really varies city to city because some of our walks are bigger than others. New York is our biggest walk. We've raised anywhere You know, it varies year to year, and with the economy, you know, that presents its own challenges. But, you know, anywhere from, you know, $7 million to $11 million just for the New York Walk, which is incredible.
Wow.
And the majority of that money, the majority of the money raised at each Avon Walk for Breast Cancer stays in that area. So for New York, for example, the majority of the money will go to breast cancer organizations and cancer centers in the tri-state area. So it's nice for the people who do the walk to know that they're having an impact in their own community. It's nice when they see those big checks being presented on stage that they recognize the places and organizations that are receiving the money. I think that means a lot to them. So that really, that's pretty exciting. And so, yeah, so we'll, we won't know for the New York Walk until that morning or late the night before, because on Friday night a lot of the walkers check in and a lot of them turn in quite a few additional donations. So we wait till Saturday morning to let them know how much they've raised, and it always gets a big cheer, and we make a big fuss about it, which is well deserved.
Great. Now, there are some people out there that are saying, well, you know, I can't do the walk. I'm not available, but I would like to donate. Where can they do that?
They can go to avonwalk.org. If you know somebody who is participating, you can, you know, click on the donate button and search for their name, and you can donate to somebody you know, which is always nice because they're trying to reach their $1,800.
Right.
Or you can make a general donation to the Avon Walk for Breast Cancer. And we certainly welcome that. Donations of any size, they all make a difference. They all add up. And the other thing, obviously donating is a huge way to get involved. They can come on out and cheer. Probably two weeks before the walk, we will post a list of cheering stations on our website where it gives you the exact location and the peak times to go to that spot where you'll see the most walkers going by. And people come out to these cheering stations. They bring posters. They play music. They bring candy. And that's a really fun way to show support. These walkers are going a really long way and can use some encouragement, and it's a fun way to spend a couple hours on Saturday or Sunday afternoon. So that's a great way to get involved. You can, you know, if this year doesn't work for you, you know, we're already signing people up for our Avon Walks in 2014, so you can go ahead, and our walks start next year in April in Houston. So
wow.
If, pick a city that you like and or that's close to you and join us next year. But really, you know, participating as a walker, donating, coming on out to cheer. There might still be a few volunteer opportunities left. We couldn't do this event without the hundreds of volunteers that help make the weekend possible. So you can get in touch with us and see if there's still need for volunteers. So lots of ways to get involved. And even you can come to the closing ceremony. The information is posted on our website. It's Sunday afternoon, October 20th at 2:30 at Pier 84. Which I said is over by the Intrepid, and it's open to the public, and that will really give you a nice glimpse of what the Avon Walk is about, and you see those checks being presented, and you hear a local survivor tell her story, and you see we have hundreds of breast cancer survivors that parade into the ceremony, and it's so wonderful and inspiring and a really great celebration. So all sorts of ways to get involved.
Yes, yes. I have a question. What is your favorite part of the whole weekend?
Oh, gosh, that's so hard. You know, I do think when we give away the money is a real highlight, because that's really what it's all about. It's that this money is going to help people. It is helping people who are fighting breast cancer right now. It's, you know, through programs that link women and men to free mammograms. You know, I think there's a lot of people who, you know, don't have insurance or have very minimal insurance or really in financial hardship, and to think that they can't get a mammogram because they can't afford it is heartbreaking. I had great health insurance when I was diagnosed. I had access to amazing doctors. I never worried about how I was going to pay for anything, and to think that there are people who aren't going and getting these, you know, life-saving tests because they can't afford it, or they can't afford to take the time off from work, or, you know, whatever the case may be, is just heartbreaking. So everybody deserves the same chance at survival. So we fund programs that help link people to the care and the screening that they need, even if they can't afford it. So some of that money is helping people right now, and then some of the money is going to researchers who are looking for a way to stop this disease. They're looking at what, you know, the possible causes of it, looking at ways to prevent it, looking for ways to detect it even earlier. Maybe there's something, you know, that you do before you start getting mammograms. Maybe there'll be a blood test one day or a urine test or
yes,
saliva test that could detect you know, pre-cancer, you know, like even earlier and earlier and earlier, so to improve chances. So when those checks are given out, it's really what it's all about. But also for me personally, meeting other breast cancer survivors is so exciting. You know, I'm an 8-year survivor now, but when I meet somebody who's like a 20-year survivor, 25-year survivor,
yeah,
that just means so much to me, and it's so hopeful. And then I realize that now, as my number starts to get a little higher, I meet people who are just, you know, 1 and 2 year survivor, and they meet me, and they're like, wow, 8 years, that's incredible.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, we're all helping each other and keeping each other going and inspiring each other, and that means a lot to me. But, you know, there's just so many amazing parts of the weekend, but those are two that stand out.
Right, right. What are some of, now that, let's talk a little bit about, you know, decreasing your risk. What are some of the important steps that women out there can take to decrease their risk of breast cancer?
Well, and a lot of the things that you can do to decrease your risk of breast cancer also decrease your risk of a lot of other diseases and problems as well. You know, maintaining a healthy weight, getting regular exercise, limiting your alcohol, not smoking, those are all things that can absolutely reduce your risk of breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And many other diseases. So really, you know, paying attention to your lifestyle and what you're eating and what you're doing is really one of the best possible things you can do for so many reasons, but also for breast cancer. I mean, it's not a guarantee. I was living a very healthy, active life when I was diagnosed. So, you know, I technically was doing all the right things, but sometimes, you know, there's just no explanation as to why things happen. But, you know, and really what I think probably the most important thing that women and men can do is to know their bodies. Be familiar with your body. If something doesn't seem right or something seems different, go talk to your doctor. Don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed. Talk to your doctor about your breast cancer, your family history of cancer. Know your risk factors, and talk to your doctor about what you can do to reduce those risk factors. But if you feel something or see something that doesn't seem right to you, go get it checked out. Be your own advocate. You know, just don't bury your head in the sand, because that's not going to fix anything. Early detection is so important, and your outcome can be so incredible and positive if you act quickly and are diagnosed early. And most of times, if you feel a little something or see something that's not right, most times it's going to be nothing. It's going to be fine. But better to get it checked out and know that and rest easy. But if, you know, on that off chance that it is something to be concerned about, so much the better that you're dealing with it soon and you're dealing with it early, so that you have a much more positive outcome. I think really just being smart about your own personal health is so important.
It is. And it's interesting, many women can and do survive breast cancer if it's found and treated early.
Absolutely.
And a mammogram, yeah, you know, can help the breast cancer early. So the mammograms are so important. And checking yourself once a month is extremely important.
Exactly. And that's
and
what I'm
women.
Saying, like, know your body. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, check yourself regularly if it's not, you know, if you're not, you know, every month on this day, like, you know, you don't have to be, like, super rigid about it, but just be familiar with what's normal for you so that if something is not normal, you'll notice it and you can bring it to your doctor's attention. And, you know, get your mammogram. Encourage the people around you to get mammograms. I heard you mentioning, you know, men get breast cancer as well, and spread that word also, because a lot of men assume that they can get breast cancer, so when it is detected in men, it's usually much further along and a more serious situation. So
mm-hmm.
really, you know, get your screening, encourage the people in your life to do the same. I saw somebody posting on Facebook, a friend of mine had turned 40. She posted on Facebook, oh, God, now I have to go get a mammogram. I hate this, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no. I'm like, don't do that. Don't encourage people. I'm like, you're doing the best thing you can possibly do today. Like, go do it. It doesn't take that long. It's not as bad as people say it is. I don't think it's that bad at all. But it's such an important, important step in your overall health and your future. So I think that's really important.
That's great. So much fabulous information. It's just it's wonderful. I do have some plans for that weekend, but after speaking to you, I'm saying, you know what, I'm just going to have to come in and spend some time just because the experience is just, it must be just incredible, incredible. But the last thing I wanted to say, you know, there are people out there who do have loved ones that have been diagnosed, and do you have a couple of tips that you can offer some of these people that they could if they could help out, or how they approach these people, how do they talk to them? What are some of the things that they can say?
Well, I think there are definitely things that people can do, pretty easy things that people can do that would really be a help if they have a friend or a loved one that's been diagnosed with breast cancer. I was very, very fortunate to have wonderful people in my life, my friends, my family, my coworkers, who really rallied around me. I will say that everybody, you know, everybody has a different personality and handles things differently. So you'll have to, you know, use your judgment as to what you think will suit the situation. But one of the biggest things I would recommend to everybody is that don't just say, is there anything I can do?
Right.
You know, you want to help, but that's too general of a question, and you're probably going to get a very general, no thanks, I'm fine answer. Be specific in what you offer. You know, if you're stopping by to visit, say, hey, can I throw in a load of laundry for you while I'm here? Or can I make you a sandwich while I'm here? Or can I take your kids for a walk so that you can just close your eyes for a few minutes and rest? You know, be specific in what you offer, because they're going to be more likely to say yes. They probably would love to close their eyes for a little bit and get the kids out of the house, but they're not going to say, can you please go take my kids to the playground, you know? Or,
right.
And sometimes just those small gestures are so, so helpful. So that's such an easy thing, and you can offer whatever it is that makes sense for you to do. You know, hey, I'm running to the grocery store. Can I pick anything up and drop it off at your house on my way back? Or, you know, so pick something that makes sense for you to do and offer something specific. You know, I had a friend, and this was a very meaningful thing that she did for me. Once she found out that I was diagnosed, she got the names and email addresses of a bunch of my friends, and she coordinated for somebody to come with me to every chemo treatment. That was such an amazing gift, because I would not have asked. I would have maybe asked a couple of times, like for the first appointment or two. But, you know, they're always in the middle of the week. They took a long time, and I would feel bad having to ask people to spend that kind of time with me. And it was so nice that she did that. I never had to ask anybody. I always had somebody that I loved there with me to keep me company. And she would just, you know, if I had my treatment on Thursday, you know, on Tuesday I'd get an email, okay, Eloise, this week Karen's going to come with you. Karen, here's where you need to go. Here's what you should bring. Eloise will probably get a little sleepy, so bring something to read. You know, it was just such a wonderful gift and such an amazing gesture. You know, that takes a little more, you know, coordination, but really she just sent a bunch of emails to people and kind of filled in the time slots that needed to be filled. So that was a wonderful gift. It didn't cost any money for her, but it meant the world to me. I think also a really good tip is don't be afraid to ask people about their breast cancer, and use your judgment and see what kind of responses you're getting back. Some people are going to be more private than others, but I always kind of thought it was a little strange when I'd have a whole conversation with somebody and I'm like, it's weird that they didn't even mention it.
Right.
You know, it was like, okay, but it was like kind of weird, like a little weird, is like a big elephant in the room that they're not mentioning. I appreciate it. And not everybody's going to always say the right thing, but I appreciated when people would ask, like, hey, how are you doing? Like, you know.
Sure.
Or they'd ask sort of educational questions because they wanted to learn. You know, they're like, well, you know, what did the lump feel like? And what is chemotherapy like? And why do you have to do this and not that? And, you know, how asking, you know, just basic questions about breast cancer and the experience, and I was happy to share it with them because someday down the road, they're going to know somebody else who has breast cancer, and maybe if I could teach them a little something that will help them the next time around, I was happy to share. But I didn't mind talking about it, so don't be afraid to ask people. But you can also, sometimes I would tell my friends, like, I'm fine, everything's going as planned, but can we please talk about something else?
Yes.
I'm so tired of talking about myself all the time. You know, I'm like, tell me what's going on with your kids, tell me what's going on at work, you know. And that was really helpful, too, just to take my mind off it for a few minutes. So you can offer to go to doctor's appointments with them and take notes. I mean, this whole breast cancer world is overwhelming, and the medical jargon is confusing, and it's nice to have somebody there to listen and hear what's going on and talk to about it afterwards. So that's something you can do. You can certainly do the Avon Walk for Breast Cancer to show your support for them. That's a great thing to do.
That's a great thing to do.
So I could go
endless.
On and on.
Yes. And that was just a great story. And Eloise, I thank you so much for being here. You're really an inspiration, not only to me, but to everybody out there, really. The work that you're doing is just is super. It's really fabulous. It really is great. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that was just a wonderful, wonderful show. Thank you so much, Eloise and to Gail, for sharing your ideas and tips. And thanks to all of you for tuning in. Oh, it's a great show. I will see you next week as I focus on real issues with real people. If you need to make a change in any aspect of your life, you're in the right place. As always, I look forward to hearing from you via email, phone. Please tell me your stories, give me your thoughts, and ask me your questions. All are welcome. And don't forget, you can purchase and download my ebooks, the Home Organizing Workbook and the Personal Organizing Workbook. They're motivational, inspirational, and beautiful. For continued tips and ideas, please follow me on my various social media platforms, Twitter at MerylStarr.com, my Facebook fan page, or my LinkedIn profile. Also, if you would like someone you know to hear this week's or any week's show, they're always available on my Blog Talk Radio homepage. So keep listening as we tackle life situations and learn how to remove the clutter in every aspect of our lives. My goal is to help you make a positive change in your life. So tune in each week. Until next time, keep it simple.